Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks,
the podcast where we freak about antiques.
What antiques are we freaking about today?
Well, we're going to go way back today.
Whoa.
We're going to the 18th century, which admittedly is not one that we visit very often.
I feel like we were there for most of the porcelain episode.
That's true, actually, yes. Call me out for the liar that I am. Anyway, we're going back. Close your eyes, get in your time capsule. 1725. Würzburg, Germany. I hope I'm saying that right.
Würzburg.
Or Würzburg. There's an umlaut over the E, whatever that tells you.
Sure.
Full respect to people who speak German. I don't. The man, Dr. Johann Bartholomew Adam Berenger. Born 1667, little known about his interim life, but what we do know is he was the senior professor, dean of faculty of medicine, chair of natural history, all at the University of Würzburg, and chief physician to the prince/bishop of Würzburg, which turns out is exactly what it sounds like.
He was prince and also bishop?
Yes.
Can you do that?
Apparently in Germany you could.
Okay.
So, our dude Dr. Berenger, who's a real doctor, like at this point, medicine is a real thing, finally. This is about roughly the time that the obstetric forceps have been invented, which, you know, stopped a lot of horrible and preventable deaths during childbirth. So, like, science is a real field, making the doctor status actually very respectable. And I want you to remember that for the rest of the story. Because Dr. Berenger's story gets weird. Now, he loves fossils. Again, he's the chair of the Natural History Board. He's basically like an amateur paleontologist. He spends a lot of time hanging around the local mountain, digging for fossils. The problem with the time period Dr. Berenger's working in is that nobody knows dick about fossils. Nothing. Nobody has any idea how they got formed, what they're doing there, what they mean. People have theories and ideas, but some theories, relics of the great biblical flood. Something called, quote-unquote, the vagaries of nature, created by, quote, marvelous force of petrifying moisture and salts of the earth, which ended up being the actual cause, or some vague subterranean generative vapor. Or, some people also thought they were just another of God's bizarre little tests. So, with that in mind, we return to the mountain with Dr. Berenger. He goes hiking there all the time looking for fossils. He's got kind of a boring collection in his, Wunderkammer, or Cabinet of Curiosities. And sometimes he sends out students to go to the mountain and bring them back whatever they find. So one day, after sending some students out, they bring back these fantastic-looking stones. They're roughly palm-sized, made of limestone, and they have pictures of frogs, lizards, spiders, worms, the sun, which should have been your first clue. Berenger was like, hot damn, these are real fossils. Fuck yeah, love it.
Wait, sorry, he thought he had a fossil of the sun?
Dr. Berenger was an incredibly awarded, lauded doctor.
Uh-huh.
People trusted him with their life.
Fossil of the sun.
Fossil of the sun.
Okay.
Roughly palm-sized.
All right, palm-sized fossil of the sun, let's go.
Now, he was just like, shit, I found them, the good fossils. One of the important things to note is that when you look at the actual fossils, and I will have pictures, they are both incised, like, they're cut away, like, so that there's an impression, like, left, like a real fossil. And some of them are raised, which makes less sense. So anyway, hot damn real fossils, right? He immediately told the teenage boys, that he would like more of these, please. Please and thank you. And he went hiking himself, and he found more. Next hall brought him a bunch that had Syrian, Hebrew, Babylonian, Latin inscriptions. Some of them just literally that just said the name of the Hebrew god.
Okay, so he's found fossils, including fossils of the sun, that are handily pre-labeled?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, one of them just says God.
Alright.
Like, so imagine you found a rock that says God on it.
And you were like, my God.
Yeah. Like, what would you think, Ken? You found this, you go to the beach, there's a rock, it just says God on it.
I would assume there'd been, like, a terrible shipwreck from one of those shipments from China of those rocks inscribed with, like, peace and love and faith that you get in, like, shitty roadside shops.
It's not what I was expecting, but okay. So, just like that, Berenger, when he saw this rock, he didn't think any of that. He said, oh shit, fossils are made from God. It says right here.
You can tell because he signed them?
You can tell because he signed them.
Huh.
Berenger, quote unquote, wholly, publicly committed himself to the belief that fossils were merely the capricious fabrications of God, hidden in the earth by him for some inscrutable purpose. Possibly, thought Barringer, merely for his own pleasure, or possibly as a test for human faith.
Okay.
Barringer was in his late 30s at this point.
So, early onset dementia?
No. He found God, Ken.
Early onset stupid?
He found God. Proof.
In my experience, God hasn't, like, hand-signed many of his other works with his own name.
If it weren't God, then how do you explain that the things written on them knew about God? Because if it was actually, like, if fossils were actually just bits and pieces of living tissue from millennia ago, how do they know what God's called? How did they know Hebrew? Checkmate, atheists. Must be God. He would end up discovering him either himself or purchasing from reliably the same three teenagers hundreds to eventually over 2,000 of these fossils.
He knows you can get them at any Cape Cod gift shop, right?
Well, he doesn't know Cape Cod exists. He's in 1700s Germany.
Oh, fine.
He's not, like, fully...
No, he knows Cape Cod exists. The Puritans have already settled the damn thing.
I don't think he's friends with any. I don't think he's friends with anybody. Because I think someone would have tipped him off by now. Because if it's not suspicious enough that you purchased over 2,000 rocks from three teenagers, like, that alone, like, okay. What possible reason would these teenagers have to trick me? Like, probably the fact that you're giving them money, but alright. So, clearly, obviously, and unequivocally, Barringer had made a grand discovery. What was he gonna do with that? Any guesses?
Publish? Or perish?
Publish! Woo! He was gonna write himself a fucking book! He announced it very shortly after collecting the fucking 2001st of these goddamn rocks that he was writing a book. He was gonna write a book about these miraculous fossil findings and prove, once and for all, that fossils were literally just something God did to screw with us. As soon as he announced it, almost immediately, the one teen who was aware of the hoax confessed
what,
that-
Hoax? Hoax? You're telling me this is a hoax?
It's hard to believe, I know.
What?
But at this point, we're gonna call it that.
I am aghast.
Because after he said that, the teen said, okay, no, I planted all those stones. None of them are real.
Another test from God.
Hey, how did you guess?
Oh, no.
Barringer did not believe him.
Oh, no.
He assumed that he was godless and was just trying to stop Barringer from publishing the truth about God's fossils.
I hate all of these teens.
Now, as the publishing date came closer, two other gentlemen, colleagues of Barringer's, also began to uncomfortably repeatedly state to anyone who would listen, because Barringer had been spreading this news far and wide, that what Dr. Barringer was doing was that he had fallen for a hoax, and that he was now either not fit to be talking about this because he'd fallen for such a hoax, or actively exploited what he knew was a hoax to damage science and push his own agendas. Now, that's weird, right? Just these two dudes? Put a pin in that one.
Okay.
So
two dudes, three teens, and one idiot?
Two dudes, three teens, one asshole. So far as who's on board. Let's look at the book for a little bit.
Okay.
Curiously, the book has a lot of evidence that Dr. Barringer was vaguely aware that the fossils he was finding were not legitimate. There is a chapter in which he says, quote, "The figures are so exactly fitted to the dimension of the stones that one would swear that they were the work of a very meticulous sculptor."
So none of them are fragments or, like, off-center or anything, but they all, like, perfectly fit to the edge of the page?
Not only that, but they're also roughly the same size. Always.
Huh.
He wrote that down in the book that he was writing about, how these were definitely God's little miracles.
One would almost say they were engineered with German precision.
You could say that, but you would say that like an idiot because God made them. Another chapter has this quote. "The fossils have a smoothness, suggesting the polished effect of applied pumice, though the lower side retains its natural solid roughness."
So, okay. So, weirdly, the side of these rocks with the fossil on it seems to have been polished as if by human hand, and the non-fossil side looks rough-hewn as by nature?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Let us move on.
Another chapter, quote, "One would swear that you could discern on many of them the strokes of a knife gone awry," end quote.
It's weird how, like, meticulously God planted all of these false clues that these might be fake.
Yeah, Well, here's the thing. Berenger, he looked over all this evidence, and he said, it can't be fake. What idiot loser had so much spare time that they would have dedicated themselves to faking this?
Three teens in the woods?
You know. You know? And that's literally his only justification. The only thing he had to fall back on was, that can't be possible, that's insane.
Nobody has the time.
Nobody has the time. And he actually couldn't conceive of a world where someone would have the will. Like, he looked through it in his heart and he said, nobody would be that, like, pointlessly mean.
I have at least 8 bridges to sell this guy.
I think he'd buy all of them and then say God built them. So, but losers indeed. I just love that. In 1726, despite rumors swirling around, Dr. Berenger published the book called The Lithographiae Wurzburgensis, or I'm going to call it The Wurzburg Lithography, is what it translates into, which was, as previously stated, a book all about these incredible fossils he discovered and what he thought they meant. In furthering, like, this supposition he had that Germany was actually, like, the cradle of creation.
He thought Germany was Mesopotamia?
Yes. Despite the fact that at this point we didn't know Mesopotamia existed.
Yeah.
Like, we found it.
We knew it was there, like, since the Crusades. Like, what the fuck?
Do you want to hear something funny? He wrote this in the book in response to these two mysterious colleagues constantly asserting that this was fake and he was a fake and this is all fake and dumb and stupid and dumb. Quote, with peaceful mind and tranquil pen, I pursued the dissertation which I had begun on this controversy. Then, when I had all but completed my work, I caught the rumor circulating throughout the city, especially among prominent and learned men, that every one of these stones, which, on the advice of wise men, I proposed to expound in a published treatise, were recently sculpted by hand, made to look as though at different periods they had been resurrected from a very old burial, and sold to me as to one indifferent to fraud and caught up in the blind greed of curiosity. Further, that I, once deceived, in my wretched turn, was deluding the world and trying to sell new hoaxes as genuine antiques to the silent laughter of prudent souls. I was shocked beyond words to learn that the authors of this atrocious calumny were two men, perhaps best described as a pair of antagonists, whose name I have reason to protect at present, men with whom I was closely associated in numerous functions, former colleagues in the academic society.
I do love the word calumny.
Yeah, me too. In the book, he even admits that he knows some of the stones were fakes.
Wait, okay. So, okay. So, why is he doing any of this?
Because the one teen that, to this point, now this is the second time he's trying to get Dr. Berenger to please stop. He literally said, listen, I polished this one myself. Like, and he pointed out to one of the academics and said, he carved it. I polished it. This is all fake. And this happened after the rumors came out. Like, after the goof went way too far and people were desperately trying to stop Dr. Berenger from taking it any farther. So he assumed that this was just them trying to, like, belatedly make it look like they were the ones who were right. In his mind, they didn't want him to have the, like, glory of this discovery, so they had manufactured these late fakes to try to make it look like they were all fake.
The rumor come out. Does Berenger's fossils as fakes?
So, like, he literally says he doesn't think it's anything other than trying to prank him, which, okay, well... His closing statement on this subject matter was, does this mean that every aconolith I have discovered during the past 6 months smacks of imposture?
Yes!
He answered himself with a firm no.
No? Yes! The answer is yes, good sir! You flipped it turnways!
I think my favorite part of this is that like, whole passage I read where he's just like, what, you think that I was so blinded by my need for discovery that I got stupid?
Oh my god. I need to go lie down.
Part of the legend, this is unconfirmed, but a popular part of the story surrounding Dr. Berenger, is shortly after the publishing and printing date of his book, the students presented Dr. Berenger with a final stone. It had his name on it.
And thus he concluded, holy shit, God knows my name.
At that point, he realized he had been duped.
I am so relieved to hear the story has a happy fucking ending.
Well, It's got a weird ending. That might not be how it actually happened. Some other historians suggested that it might have been the Prince Bishop, who was very tired of the shenanigans, and finally sat Dr. Barringer down and pointed out all the ways that this was dumb and stupid and stupid and dumb.
Listen, I have two jobs, so you know I'm smart.
You know he knows what's going on.
Trust me, this is bullshit.
You have to listen to Prince Bishop. Either way, the rumor did come out, and Barringer does his fake. And humiliated, terrified, and demoralized, he frantically went and tried to purchase every last copy of the recently revealed book. And that is accurate. That's something we do know that happened. So, what's the next? The obvious next step was whodunit. Barringer was fucking out for blood now.
Who could have possibly given these three bored teenagers these fake fossils?
Did Dr. Barringer really get tricked by a bunch of teens and die heartbroken, embarrassed, and penniless?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Sorry. Almost immediately, Dr. Barringer fingered the real culprits. Dr. Barringer's former colleagues hinted at in the last letter at the College of Würzburg. Dr. J. Ignaz Roderick, professor of geography, algebra, and analysis at the university, and George von Eckhart, a counselor and librarian to the bishop's court and the university. You may remember these men as the vaguely hinted at people who were spreading rumors about Barringer's fossils being fakes in a desperate attempt to slow the wheels of what they had wrought. Big surprise they were the first suspects, as they were the only two human goddamn beings other than the teens saying, hey, wait, something's wrong. The real tale, as we find out, Roderick and Eckert had hired the teen Christian Zanger, previously referred to strictly as the teen, to polish limestone fossils that Roderick himself had carved, and then further commissioned him to plant the fossils and, on a few occasions, directly sell the stones to Dr. Barringer.
Hey, go polish this rock and stick it in a mountain for me, will ya?
Pretty much. And he brought some directly to the doctor because he was well known for buying things off of students. The other two teens were called Valentin and Niklaus Hans. They were not in on the scam at all, but had honestly just found the things Zanger had planted and sold them to Dr. Barringer in good faith. Almost immediately, Eckert and Roderick pointed the finger at the teens. Specifically Valentin and Niklaus Hans. Like, predictably, because they weren't actively involved, they made excellent fall guys. They made the mistake of going to Hans themselves and threatening him with fetters and chains if he didn't take the fall and admit he had done every part of the hoax. Later, when that didn't work, they bribed Zanger with, quote, much money and many favors if he would state that the Hans brothers made the stones and delivered them all on their own. Zanger, to his credit, did not do this.
Good job, Zanger.
That might be because they didn't pay him for any of the things they told him he'd pay him for. Meaning, a promise of further payment rings rather hollow. So, on April 13th, 1726, Dr. Barringer won a conviction of what the conviction was exactly, we don't know.
But a conviction.
Probably libel, fraud, something like that.
Jaywalking.
Yeah. General bastardry. That's probably a charge, right? Against Roderick and Eckert. As a result, Dr. Roderick was relieved of his job at the university and forced out of Würzburg in disgrace. Dr. Eckert lost his job and his ability to access the university library and archives.
No, my books.
Why Roderick was, like, evicted from the town is unclear.
Go fuck off back to the mountains with your fossils.
I guess because he's physically the one who carved them, so they were just like, well, he's more guilty.
Sure.
I don't know. While Dr. Roderick faded into obscurity, his whereabouts unclear, Dr. Eckert died not even 4 years after the scandal, his research unfinished without access to the archives.
Oops.
Dr. Barringer lived another 14 years. And despite having been also reasonably disgraced, went on to publish a couple more books about less cockamamie bullshit subjects. Mostly medicine. Which he did actually know about. Not that I think people were keen on having him practice on them. Anymore. After that.
He just reaches into your guts and pulls out a fossil. God put this
here! God must have put this here. It wasn't all rosy, though. Locally, the name Barringer became synonymous with gullible.
Someone wrote Barringer on the ceiling.
Yeah, there was a lot of that going around. The stones became known as the Lugenstein, or the Lying Stones.
Aw, sick.
And the only question this left anyone was, why did it happen at all? Why? Because Barringer wasn't wrong when he previously stated that that's a lot of trouble to go through. For two adult men with incredibly lauded positions in science and academia.
Listen, all of their positions and all of their accolades did not give them Netflix. They had nothing to do. As scholars, they don't have to farm for shit. They don't have to run a sawmill or crack stones in a mine. So what the fuck else are they gonna do with their time? Just sit in the library? They've already read all these fucking books. No, we're going to do a hoax.
Well, the
because we're so fucking bored.
Well, I don't know. Dr. Eckhart could not have been very bored because he didn't finish his fucking research.
Listen, it's either this or getting eaten alive by the boars in the Black Forest. Your call.
Damn. That second one sound good, though.
I know, right?
So, we do have a couple of surviving documents from the court case. And the only explanation we've ever gotten is a single line in the transcripts where the men said about Dr. Berenger, quote, he was so arrogant and despised them all.
So if only he weren't such a fucking asshole, none of this would have happened.
So Dr. Berenger was a dickhead, like, once. And then Dr. Eckhart and other guy, Roderick, basically imperiled the field of natural history potentially forever. And also threatened to destroy this man's life. Because he was kind of a dickhead.
Hashtag relatable.
And, like, a lot of the rumor is actually that when they realized that the ruse was going too far and going into publishing phase, they had actually gotten together with other academics and said, what is this going to mean for the future of science if this goes down and nobody questions it? When we know it's fake. Hence their, like, desperate scramble to get him to, like, give up without admitting they've done it. Which is a juicy detail.
Oh, man.
So, after all this, very few copies of the Würzburg lithography survived because of Dr. Berenger's attempt to purchase and destroy them, which makes them an incredibly limited run. As a result, I found a couple for sale. They are in the high hundreds to thousands.
Damn.
So anywhere from like 800 to 15,000, depending on condition.
New Patreon goal.
No, you know what happened last time? Never again. Someone will do it. For absolutely no clear reason, although I'm going to go ahead and suggest that it was for the laughs, the book was republished in 1767, 20 years after Dr. Berenger's death. I feel like it was just a, like, you guys remember this? You guys remember that? It was republished again by English historians, translated into English in 1963. As for the stones themselves, hundreds survive in private collections, and in larger quantities at the Oxford University Museum of Natural History, as a sort of warning to blind ambition in science, and the Taylor's Museum in the Netherlands. And that is it. That is the story of Dr. Berenger's lying stones.
I love it.
Glad you like it. I found it while looking at some other, like, famous frauds, and I was so gobsmacked by the whole thing. Today's sources are archive.archaeology.org/online/features/hoaxes/Berenger and hoaxes.org.
I do love descriptive URLs.
Yeah,
like a lot. If you would like to talk to us more about antiques frauds and antiques frauds,
and whether or not at the beginning of this episode you thought that those fossils were definitely from God,
you can contact us directly, antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks, or you can join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends.
Which is very much easier for us to check and talk back on.
Yes. And it's also been a hub for more community activities, such as Attack Bear Press, putting together some wicked cool posters for us.
We are in love. We are in love with them.
And hopefully we'll be able to offer those soon.
So check out Attack Bear Press's page.
Yeah.
On Facebook. It's Attack Bear Press. On Facebook. It's not, we don't quite have confirmation if you can get to us through Ouija board yet. I don't recommend it.
But it wouldn't hurt to try.
It might hurt.
If you would like to check out some deleted scenes or join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks.
And it'll make us love you even more.
Thank you to all of our current patrons for making this podcast possible, paying our hosting fees and whatnot. Special thank you to patron Ian, who donated a laptop for us to record on.
Yeah, crazy, huge, special, like, wicked shout, like, pew, 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 pew. Fireworks, like, Jesus, dude.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Someday we're going to get you back with kindness.
I am wicked excited about it for a lot of reasons, but mostly because, like, now I can separate podcast laptop from regular work laptop.
Yeah.
Which means, like, I don't have to drive around with the podcast machine in my bag, which makes me way less nervous. Yeah, than traffic.
And this one doesn't require ice blocks on it to cool it.
Also that, yeah, I don't have to put an ice pack on this one. It's amazing. I'm so excited for the new podcast machine.
Thank you.
Thank you. And also thank you for the lovely and unprecedented Christmas gift.
Yeah. Wow, man.
So remember in our Cupie Dolls episode and our postcards episodes when we talked about that Cupie suffragette postcard?
Guess who owns it now?
We do!
We do!
Thank you, Ian!
I believe my first words upon uncovering were, I'm going to fight Ian in real life. But I meant that in, like, a loving way.
Because Dee expresses gratitude with fists.
But almost solely through violence, yeah.
I'm so excited to frame it and hang it up in the podcast recording booth.
Yeah, it's going to be a part of, like, the inspiration wall.
It's so good. I love it. Thank you so much.
Beyond beautiful.
And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.